Good afternoon. We're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland, continuing. And we're glad to be out this afternoon. We are pleased that the weather has somewhat changed. It's now dry. And we're glad to be able to come out and to bring something concerning the Christian gospel to you this afternoon. We're a local church. We're based in Partick. We meet on the Lord's Day, Sunday, at 11 a.m. and again at 6 p.m. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace. That's just off Dumbarton Road. If you come to the police station, then turn up opposite the police station up the hill, and you will come first of all to Thornwood Primary School, and then you'll find our building next door at the crossroads. And we would extend a warm welcome to you all to come along, that you might hear something more concerning the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come out in the streets really for two reasons. The first reason is that the Lord has commissioned His disciples to go out and to bring the good news of the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you until the end of the age. And that was a commission that the Lord Jesus gave to His early disciples just before He was taken back into heaven. And obviously, the original disciples and the apostles could never possibly bring the gospel to every part of the world. They did an excellent job, there's no doubt about it, but the world is so big. And of course, they didn't have the travel capabilities that we have today. Therefore, they were not able to come out and go to all the ends of the earth. And therefore, that commission has followed on to those who have followed on after the early apostles and disciples. And that is one reason why we go out this afternoon, to bring the good news of the Christian gospel to you as you pass by this afternoon. But another reason why we come out, we recognize that most people don't go to a Christian place of worship today. That's the sad reality. And friends, regardless of what you might think of us, our feet are firmly set upon the ground. And we live in the real world, and we acknowledge that our churches are almost empty. Hardly anyone goes to a Christian place of worship today. And even if they do go to a Christian place of worship today, very often they don't hear the authentic gospel. They don't hear the authentic gospel. But we want to come out, friends, and we bring the gospel to you in order that you might hear the most vitally important message that you could possibly hear. And it is concerning what God has done in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many things that make Christianity unique. Many things. As you know, there are many, many religions in this world. I once saw someone quote that there are at least 4,200 religions today. Well, whenever that number was come about, you can be sure that the number has increased, because we're adding to the number of religions that we have every day. But there are a number of things that make Christianity unique. And one of them is, quite simply, that what God has done in Christ is unique. All, yes, underline this, all other religions are man's way to get right with God. They'll tell you to do this, to do that, and then maybe God might accept you. Christianity is different. Christianity's message is quite simply this, that God has done something in and through His Son. And you're not asked to do anything to save yourself. You are asked to believe. You are asked to trust someone else. You are asked to rely upon what someone else has done on your behalf. Now, therefore, it's clear that you cannot possibly put your faith and trust upon someone you don't know anything about. That would be ridiculous. That's why we come out. Even for the few minutes that you are passing by here, we want to tell you something concerning this person. And that person is none other than the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became like us. And that itself is a story. The Lord Jesus, who is the Son of God, was in heaven. And indeed, the Son of God had no beginning. He is the eternally begotten Son of God. But He could never save anyone until He became just like us. So the Son of God, Christ, He became a man. In fact, He became the God-man. He became just like us.
Reverend, what denomination are you?
Free Church of Scotland, continuing, my dear.
Right,
good to see you. God bless you. And this is something that, again, makes Christianity unique. Our Savior is the God-man. He is fully God, and He is fully man. And He is fully man because He had to suffer, and He had to die. As God, He could never suffer. He could never die. It was impossible for God to die. But as our mediator, as the God-man, He came to this world, took our nature, became like us, lived in this world. Yes, He lived an absolutely perfect life. He never sinned in thought or word or deed. And that again is vitally important to understand the Christian message. Because Jesus was offering up Himself as a sacrifice. Christ offered up Himself on the cross, on Calvary. Yes, we know that wicked men crucified Him. We know the Jews handed Him over to Pilate. And Pilate eventually gave permission for Him to be crucified. And we know that wicked men carried out a terrible deed that they will give account for one day. But overall, it was all part of God's plan in order to work out a salvation, in order to deliver men and women from the guilt and from the power and from the presence of sin. And that's why we're here this afternoon, to tell you about this person that you must put your faith and hope and trust in for time and for eternity. But maybe you're asking me a question. Why do I need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Surely I am okay as I am. Why do I need to be saved? Minister, you're talking about salvation and for the need to be saved. Why do I need to be saved? Maybe you're asking me. Well, we need to recognize, friends, what the Bible teaches. And the Bible doesn't flatter us. It's not out to flatter us. And that's one reason why we know, and I stress it's only one reason, it's only one reason that we know the Bible has not been written by man, because man is not flattered in it. The Bible makes it clear that ultimately it has been written by God. It's God's message for mankind. And the message, in some sense, is not very flattering. The message tells us that we're sinners. Now, we don't like this. This is something that we find offensive. It's part of the Christian gospel, and it's part of the offense of the cross. But the Bible is clear. Read it for yourselves. You'll find it in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for instance, where Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles, he says there in Romans 3:23, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's the Bible's statement. That's the Bible's verdict upon Jew and upon Gentile. upon the Jew that had the law of God, that had the promises of God, that had the covenants and the scriptures. Yet that was God's verdict upon the life of the Jews and the Gentiles. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that simply means we have missed the mark. God has set a standard for us, and we have missed that. Every one of us. There is no exception. You may be a devout religious person, and you may go to a chapel or a church or whatever, day after day, week after week. You may say your prayers. You may give money to charity. You may do good works. You may be a noble and upright and outstanding citizen. But as far as God is concerned, His verdict upon you and me, upon our hearts, upon our lives, is clear. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need a Savior. And that Savior is only the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is something that makes Christianity unique. Or indeed, one of the things that makes Christianity unique. We declare there's only one God. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave His life a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. That's what Paul tells the young pastor Timothy. For there is one God. And because there's one God, there is one way to God. There is one mediator. There is one person that unites God and man. And that person alone is God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, what we are saying, friends, is there's only one Savior. There's only one way to God. God has provided that way. Think on it. We are the ones who have sinned. We are the ones who have broken God's law. We are guilty before God. We are under His wrath and curse by nature. Yet God, in His love, in His mercy, and in His grace, He has provided a way of salvation. What does salvation mean? Salvation means deliverance. It means freedom. It means to be emancipated. It means to be set free. That's what it means. And then you may well ask me, if you're thinking at all, what do I need to be set free from? Well, you need to be set free from your sin. Sin is a terrible thing. People laugh at sin. People delight in sin. That's because of our fallen human nature. But sin is an extremely serious thing. And as far as God is concerned, it must be dealt with. He will not sweep it under the carpet. He will not wink at it. He must deal with it. Because it is offensive to God. What is sin? Sin is any want of or conformity unto the law of God. That's what it is. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. That's what John says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. And I urge you, friends, when you hear these Bible references, don't simply accept them. Go to your own Bibles, read them there, look them up. You will see and you will notice that the minister is not in any sense giving you his word on these things. No, 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 not at all. We are simply going to the Word of God. And of course, as you know, the Word of God is truth. The Word of God is truth. Thank you, sir. May God bless you. You know, the Word of God is truth. Jesus says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. We live in a day, we live in an age when there's so much false news, innuendo, propaganda, lies, hypocrisy. It's all over us. Yet there's one thing, friends, that is absolutely true. Absolutely true, and that's the Word of God. And you are urged to pick up the Word of God for yourselves. Read it. Begin by calling upon God that He might reveal His Word to you, that He would open up the eyes of your understanding, and that you might understand what you read, and that the Holy Spirit might speak unto you, and that you might recognize that what you read is the very Word of God Himself, and it is truth. Therefore, you can trust it. And because it's truth, it will be truth tomorrow. It will be truth in 10 years' time, 100 years' time, or 1,000 years' time. It doesn't change. It's not like the laws of man that change. God's law doesn't change. Why? Because God Himself does not change. I am the Lord, He says. I change not. He doesn't change. Why does He not change? He doesn't change because He is perfect. If He was to change, He would not be perfect, because He could only change for the better or for the worse. And therefore you are to have confidence in God's Word. You are to recognize that this is God's message for mankind. It's God's message for those on Buchanan Street in Glasgow this afternoon. God has given you a message. You know, you get notifications on your smartphones and on your computers. From this app or this another app, you get certain notifications, and you go and you look at these notifications. You need to go to your Bibles. You need to start reading God's Word, because there in God's Word He has a message for you and me. And we will ask ourselves then, what basically is the message of the Bible? You know, there are 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, and there's one thing that links all of these books together. What is it? They all speak concerning the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. They all give a particular message concerning Him. In the Old Testament, all the books are basically pointing forward to that day when Jesus would come, when the Lord would come. And the gospel records in the New Testament, they tell us of the Lord Jesus Christ. They tell of His incarnation. They tell of His birth. They tell of His life. They tell of His teaching. They tell of His miracles. They tell of His sufferings. They tell of His death. They tell of His resurrection. They speak about His ascension. And do you know what, friends? They talk and tell us and instruct us and encourage us that He will come again. Yes, that's the next great event in the calendar of God, if you might say. That's the next event. That's what we're waiting for. Behold, the Bible says, read it in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. How can every eye see Him? The Bible tells us, friend, one day there'll be a resurrection. As Jesus rose out of the grave, as Jesus conquered death and is alive forevermore, His resurrection guarantees the resurrection of every single one of us. It is more than likely. Yes, it's a sobering thought, but it's more than likely that every one of us will go the way of all the earth. Yes, we don't like to think about it, but the reality is true. We cannot avoid it. More than likely, all of us, doesn't matter how young we are, it doesn't matter how old we are, more than likely, unless Christ does not return, we'll all go the way of all the earth. We'll all be gathered to our fathers. But the day is coming when we will come out of our graves. Yes. Because the Bible says, every eye shall see Him. When Jesus returns, you won't need a preacher. You won't need a preacher to tell you that Jesus is here. Every eye shall see Him. And He will come suddenly. He will come like the lightning. So He will. God bless you, sir. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There King Solomon, the most wisest man in all the earth, except the Lord Jesus, is giving young people an exhortation. What's he telling them? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And it's an appeal to the young people, because Solomon was once a young man, and Solomon was able to indulge himself in all the pleasures of this world. He knew what it was to have money. He knew what it was to have riches. He knew what it was to have wisdom. He knew what it was to have sexual pleasures. He knew what it was to be able to satisfy every appetite that he had. And he came to the conclusion that life is vain. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity without having a Savior. And he tells the young people, because he remembers himself when he was young, and he turned his back upon the things of God. But we believe by the grace of God he was brought back to repentance. And he's saying then to young people, to people who ordinarily we expect and hope have all of our lives in front of them, to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. In other words, give your best days to serve God and Christ in this wicked and corrupt generation. That's what he's saying to you. And that's what he says to me. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. And you may well ask me, Minister, what's the evil days that Solomon is talking about? The evil days are the days of old age. Now, we're not ageist in any sense, and we're not against the elderly. We would seek to give the elderly the respect that they are due. But the elderly will be the first to admit that when you get elderly, the normal things that you once did when you were 20 or 30 or 40, you cannot do when you're 60 or 70 or 80. You lose your strength. You don't have the same mental faculties. Life is more difficult even to survive. And that's what Solomon's talking about. He is telling the young, he is telling the youth, he's telling those who are fit to get right with God now. And how can you get right with God? The only way that you can get right with God is to come and to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And we have it from His own mouth. It's in the John's Gospel. Read this for yourself. You'll find it in John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's a very clear and concise statement by the Son of God. He is telling His disciples, and He's telling us today as His word is proclaimed on Buchanan Street in Glasgow, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. What's He saying? He is saying ultimately, He is the only way to God. He is the only way to heaven. He is the only way to be reconciled to God. And if you hope to have a hope for eternity, it must be in and through Jesus Christ alone. And this is another thing that makes Christianity unique. It is absolutely dogmatic and it doesn't tolerate any imposters. It says clearly that Christ alone is the Saviour. And if that be the case, and it is, then all other religions are fake. They cannot save. And therefore, if you're following someone else, you need to take a shake. You need to consider yourself. You need to realize that Jesus alone is the only way to God. And if you will not have Jesus, you will not be saved. No wonder then we come out. No wonder we come out in the street. Because this is a glorious message. But it's also a very important message. And it's a very solemn message. Because it is telling us all that, first of all, we need a Saviour. We need the Saviour that God has provided, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we will not accept this Saviour, there is no other way to be saved. God hasn't got another way. He hasn't got another plan of salvation. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And therefore, let's sum up all of these things. And therefore we can say to you honestly, truthfully this afternoon, as we stand here with an open Bible, we can tell you that we know the way to heaven from Glasgow. You don't need a satellite navigation. You don't need to go to your phone. The only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember asking a Jehovah Witness one day, can you tell me the way to heaven? And he just simply pointed up. Well, that's not the way to heaven at all. Heaven is to be found by believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we come out. We want to tell you about this person, that you too might know what we know. We don't want to keep this message to ourselves. This is a glorious message. This is a message from heaven. This is God's complete and final revelation. God has revealed His will to us in the Word of God. And that Word of God is basically, it's all about His Son. The Old Testament is really in preparation for the coming of His Son. The New Testament tells us about the Son and His coming and how the Gospel made progress throughout the whole of the known world during the first century. And the last book in the Bible tells us that Jesus will come. He will return. Now what will He return for? He will return to judge the world. What an awesome thought. What an awesome thought. That's what Paul said to the Corinthians in Corinth. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it will be good or bad. Christianity teaches us, friends, that we cannot be saved by our works. In other words, we cannot work our way to heaven. The only way to get to heaven is to believe upon someone else who suffered and died in our room and place. And no matter how good a life we might live, no matter how charitable or religious that we might be, that will not save us. We will not be saved by our works. The Bible would describe our good works as filthy rags. But the Bible also tells us that we will be judged by our works. Do you see the difference? You'll not be saved by your works, but you will be judged by your works. That everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And therefore, the Bible would tell us and warn us that one day we will all stand before a judge. Now, this is not going to be a human judge at the High Court or the Supreme Court. This will be the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The book of Acts tells us, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. Now that verse is telling us there's going to be a day of judgment, and God has appointed that day, and God has appointed that judge. And that judge is the one who has been raised from the dead. I ask you, who has been raised from the dead? The only one that's been raised from the dead to die no more is Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Bible teaches us there's a day of judgment. We'll sit before Christ as He's on His great white throne, and we will give account. And basically, friends, we need a Savior on that day. Because if we don't have a Savior, we will be condemned. That's why we come out to tell you these things, that you might use this day of grace. And indeed, this is a day of grace. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. And if you want to escape that terrible day of judgment, the only way possible is to have Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you have Him, then you will. Why is that so? It is so because Christ has suffered in your room and in your place. That's why. You see, God dealt with sin. He dealt with it in Christ. God didn't overlook it. He didn't sweep it under the carpet. He didn't wink at it. He didn't ignore it. He dealt with it. And the truth of the crucifixion is, God punished Christ in the room and in the place of sinners. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. A wonderful, glorious transaction took place. God punished Christ. God condemned Christ on the cross. That's why Jesus cried out towards the end of His crucifixion, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? He was forsaken because He became sin. He didn't become a sinner. That would be impossible. But He was treated like a sinner. He was treated like the worst of sinners. And He suffered the pains of hell in the place of His people. And that's why we're able to come out this afternoon and to tell you that there's a way to escape, and that the only way to escape is to have your faith and trust upon the Lord Jesus, that one who died as the sinner's substitute on Calvary's tree. We're here from Partick, Free Church of Scotland continuing, and we're pleased to be on the street to be able to sell you something concerning the person and work of Christ. We meet on the Lord's Day at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. And we also meet on a Wednesday evening at 7:30. And we meet in our building at 2 Thornwood Terrace. That's opposite the police station on Dumbarton Road. Go up the hill. You'll come to Thornwood Primary School, and then you will see our building next door to them at the crossroads. And we would give you all a warm welcome to come along any Lord's Day Sunday at 11 or 6, or indeed Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. We're going to take a short break to recharge our batteries, and may God bless His word to you.